who had failed to use their any powers to protect consumers the right to override by a majority vote of these regulators, who would almost be unanimous in many cases on the other side, to cancel any consumer regulation. We do say that two-thirds of those regulators, if they think a consumer protection agency is going to endanger the stability of the financial system, to step in. Now, we don't foresee that happening, but it was one of these horrible scenarios they raised. We said, fine, we'll make sure that can't happen. So they also want to say, instead of a single director, have a five-member commission. All five would have to be confirmed by the Senate, and the way the confirmation process is working now, it obviously wouldn't function. And it's because, in part, they're afraid of Elizabeth Warren. Mr. Backus, who's the chairman, the Republican chairman of the committee, told the bankers, I think from Alabama, his own state, oh, this is not about Elizabeth Warren. And he then immediately said, oh, but of course, I wouldn't take a lie detector test.
All right, and I want to let listeners know we have invited Congressman Spencer Backus of Alabama to join us this morning. We hope he'll take us up on our invitation. Finally, Congressman Frank, tell us what's going on with regard to regulation of the derivatives market.
Okay, but you know, Mr. Backus may be afraid you're going to give him a lie detector test, Diane, so you're going to have to promise him you won't do that. On derivatives, again, we are talking about something which has been a problem for individuals, but was clearly a major cause of the crisis. AIG was one of the precipitating instances of the crisis, where the Federal Reserve, without any congressional involvement, lent them $80+ billion, because AIG had gotten itself committed to other financial institutions like Goldman Sachs and others to pay off on something called credit default swaps. Credit default swaps means that AIG was insuring the value of mortgage-backed securities that these other financial companies had bought. Then when the price of housing went down, because mortgages were given to the people who shouldn't have gotten them because the Fed wouldn't prevent that, you know, all these regulatory failures reinforce each other, AIG suddenly found itself forced to pay over nearly $200 billion that they didn't have, and that threatened the whole crisis. What we said was, look, if you're an airline and you need to hedge against an increase in fuel prices, we don't do anything to restrain you. But if you are financial institution AIG engaging in credit default swap razzle-dazzle, frankly, with Goldman Sachs, and we say if you're going to do that, you're going to have capital behind it. You can't engage in the kind of transactions that are going to leave you high and dry if you can't pay off. And that's a very important safety measure.
So
we also specifically gave the Commodity Futures Trading Commission the power to set position limits, the power to deal with speculation. And there isn't any question but that speculation by people not in the oil business, financial companies, is helping drive up oil prices. It's not the major reason, but it's a contributing factor.
So
let me just finish.
Right, okay.
One second, because I spoke before, I apologize. But the Republicans have a bill pending now that they want to bring up in committee next week that we'll be fighting, to say that between now and December of 2012, by which time they hope to have won the presidential election, nothing to regulate derivatives can go into effect. No restriction on what AIG and Goldman Sachs did. And outrageously, there's a rule pending now at the Commodity Futures Trading Commission that would allow them to step in and restrain speculation, tell people you can't buy up all those oil futures in a way that would drive up prices. And they would make that impossible to go into effect for a year and a half.
And you're saying that this is going to happen next week?
We will be voting in committee a week from today. And the Agriculture Committee, this legislation goes to both committees. The Agriculture Committee voted on it yesterday and voted it through. And we will be fighting it next week.
All right, sir. Thank you so much for joining us. Massachusetts Democratic Congressman Barney Frank.
Thank you, Diane.
Thank you. And turning to you now, Mark Calabria, what's your reaction to the congressman's comment?
There was certainly a lot there. I guess I should say anytime somebody says there's no question, that's the first red flag in my mind, that there are actually lots of questions. We could have an hour-long discussion on the 1994 HOPA Act. I've read that section repeatedly. I simply don't see how you could get to it. Doesn't bar irresponsible lending. It only bars unfair and deceptive. And so, for instance, getting somebody into a loan with no down payment is neither unfair or deceptive, but it's pretty irresponsible and pretty dangerous. But that's a conversation that we could debate for hours. I think legitimate people could read that. I do want to comment quickly on the part that the congressman leaves out on derivatives is by pushing all of these derivatives onto clearinghouses. And the Dodd-Frank bill, for the first time, creates an opportunity where clearinghouses can be bailed out by the Federal Reserve. We have created new, too-big-to-fail institutions that the taxpayer is on the hook for that were not on the hook for beforehand.
Travis.
Well, on those mortgage loans, I just say that most of them were unfair and deceptive. And had the Fed acted, they could have stopped a lot of that abusive lending because these lenders were not telling consumers the truth about the real costs of those loans. Often those loans would increase sharply in price after a year or two, and the brokers and the lenders were misleading consumers about real costs. That's why they couldn't afford them.
And turning to you, Maya Jackson Randall, are Republicans and bankers literally afraid of Elizabeth Warren?
I'm not sure if they're afraid of her or if there's been a caricature of her out there. I think that, you know, a lot in the financial industry, a lot of bankers did not want the Bureau created. So, I mean, whether it's Elizabeth Warren or someone else, you know, they're concerned about the powers in one individual. And so, yes, they're concerned about Warren and in the past, what she said about Wall Street, about banks. So I think it's a little bit of both. It's, you know, they're concerned about Elizabeth Warren, but they're also concerned about the Bureau.
And you're listening to the Diane Rehm Show. Finally, before we take a break, let's hear what Elizabeth Warren had to say on Jon Stewart's program last week, April 26th.
I thought the next part would be all about getting the pieces of the agency put together. And it is in part, and I'm having great fun doing that. But the fight isn't over. The fight moved from Main Street to the dark alleys.
Right.
And so now the game is, let's just see if we can stick a knife in the ribs of this consumer agency. So right now, there are bills pending in Congress to delay the agency, to defund the agency, to defang the agency, make it toothless so it won't get anything done, and bills in both the House and the Senate to kill the agency outright before it is ever able to take one step on behalf of middle-class families.
Travis, do you agree with that characterization?
Well, that's exactly what the bills would do. And the last bill she mentioned has been introduced in the Senate, would completely repeal financial reform. We call it the Dodd-Frank Act. And so even Senator Shelby, who Mark mentioned has been quite good on some consumer issues, has endorsed that bill. In fact, every member of the Senate Banking Committee, where a nomination for the director would start, save one, has signed on to that bill. So this is an example of what Maya was just saying. It's not just about Elizabeth Warren. It's about the agency and the power of the agency. Anybody who wants to really fulfill the mission of the agency is going to have a difficult time when so many members of the Senate want to completely repeal financial reform.
I do want to repeat, since you've heard Congressman Barney Frank, we did invite Congressman Spencer Backus of Alabama to join us. He's chair of the House Financial Services Committee. Our producer, Denise Couture, in fact, called several Republican members of Congress, all of whom declined our invitation to be on this morning. I want to turn to you, Mark Calabria, and get your reaction to Elizabeth Warren's statement.
I find certainly factually there are people who have bills out there to repeal Dodd-Frank, which I actually think it should be. I mean, to me, the biggest bait and switch ever put upon the American public.
How so?
Because it's not going to do anything to actually address the causes of the financial crisis.
How do you know that?
Because I've looked at the bill. I've studied the financial crisis. I can guarantee you that we will have a financial crisis in the next 20 years, and Dodd-Frank will have done nothing to stop it. And this is what frustrates me the most. We have a flawed and broken financial system. Congress has sold the American public on a bill.
So what kinds of restraints would you like to see?
First of all,
place?
We need to look at this, that what was the cause of the financial crisis? Now, my friends, Travis, will say it's predatory lending. But if it's predatory lending, why did we see a same boom and bust in, say, the commercial office market or the apartment market, where apparently all these people buying office loans duped? You saw very same bubbles across assets. That suggests there's got to be a common cause, and it wasn't pre-